broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yes. Welcome back. This is Rudy Canoza for Phil Hendry. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite songs.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela menina que vem e passa num doce balanço caminho do mar.
Oh, yeah.
You
see, this song is a girl from Ipanema. This is a song that when Rudy first heard this song, I knew that my life was never going to be the same. I knew that my life would be spent as I looked at the beautiful girls as they walk along the boardwalk there in La Cutula, which was my home village. You see, the village I come from in Argentina is Canulú de Jala. And we would often have young men like this sitting on the seawall. You know, the seawall as the ocean was splashing, and the seabirds were singing and waving away, and the beautiful girls would walk along the sidewalk, along the street, down the alley. A lot of them were in the alley, but not too many there on the street, too. And you'd hear a guy like this singing, and you'd say, are you interested in girls? Nothing against him, but you'd say, you like girls, right? He'd say,
yes, I do.
Some kind of, Rudy is joking, but that's what he would sound like. Ah, yeah, yeah. That's it. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, baby. Yeah. See, she would come out from her mother's home, you know. Her mother would say, now, Astrid, I want you to come back up. Don't you dally with the boys down there. She'd say, oh, mama. And then she'd sing the song for me. Yeah. And Rudy, oh, I would be only an 18-year-old boy. I would sit there and go, go, baby, go. Yeah. Yeah, baby. I said, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Yeah, 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 yeah. All the guys, you know. And then you'd realize, you know, that it was music coming from the loudspeaker on a bus. And, well, the fantasy would be gone, you know. Say, as she walks down the street, you see the boy. Some kind of music, huh? Well, at this hour, the Rudy Canoza, and I have to tear myself away from Astrid Gilberto there, because she is everything for me. Everything for me. Astrid Gilberto, I wish I was old enough. When I was a boy, she was already a woman of 50, 60 years of age, you know, 70, I don't know. She must have been probably in an old folks' home by the time I was 6. She was now nothing more than flesh hanging off of bone. But at one time... Astrid Gilberto was everything to me. And I think of Astrid Gilberto even to this day, and I automatically think, ha la 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 la. This is the Argentinian way. Don't ever be mistaken. This is the Argentinian way. And the woman, you should have respect. American men have no respect for women. No respect at all. I don't wish to speak ill of my good American friends. I have a great many friends who are American men, but I must say to you, With all respect to my American male friends, I said, you don't have no respect for your women. You treat them like cattle. You treat them like pigs. You cannot, don't treat a woman like this. Otherwise, Rudy will swoop in. He will take her from you. As sure as the night follows the day, Rudy will follow your woman home and take her from you. This is how it is. This is what must be. If you treat your woman like she's nothing more than a cow, if you treat a woman like she's nothing more than an oinking, rooting pig in the mud, then of course the woman is going to go with Rudy. Now, this hour I'm going to be taking phone call from some of you men. And I also am going to be tell you with the 12th trauma, how do you keep yourself away from a beautiful young thing who happens to be 14? And you go through the 12th trauma, so you have a car back over your hand. You put yourself in freezing water for half a day. There's a couple of other ones. I think I've forgotten them. I must have Vernon Dogeron with me, but you put yourself in the freezing water for half a day. I know one it has to do with, you have to catch a Major League Baseball pitcher. You have to catch him nude. So, and make sure he's really burning in the heat. You know, let me see your fastball. That's what you say. You squat behind the plate with a catcher's mitt, but the rest of you, stark raving nude. And you, come on, man, burn it in. You know, you have to. You must. This is the third trauma. And the fourth trauma is you sit in goal and you take a target practice in goal for the, you know, some hockey team, right? And the most effective scoring machine on the hockey team, you got to just field all these slap shots nude. That is the fourth trauma. See? Now, the fifth trauma is going down a slide nude. A lot of it has to do with nude, but you get the idea. Once you are able to put yourself through this, and then the 12th trauma has to do with anything that is heated to boiling and you sitting in it. All right? Now, you can well imagine, after going through all 12 of these, and the worst is the 12th trauma, boil, heat anything to boiling. It can be anything. And sit in it. Pour it into just a seat, just a chair, so it puddles, and then collapse into it. Don't you dare say a word. Otherwise, no go. You have to start all over again. This will keep you. This is the 12 traumas. I am Rudy Canoza, and a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take our phone calls now, and I am going to Paul. Paul, hello. Hello, Paul.
Oh, hi, Rudy.
Yes, Paul.
Oh, hi, it's Paul.
How are you, sir? I know that you are a call. I saw your name on the phone screening.
Oh, I'm enjoying your program, and I'm sitting here with my wife, Suna, is her name.
Suna, and what their name is this?
She's a Korean girl. She's Korean, met her in Korea.
You met her? It's a Korean girl, very lovely.
Yeah, I met her. I was teaching school over there.
Well, very lovely. And what is the question for you that Rudy can answer?
Well, I've got a question. I first wanted to ask you about that 12 traumas. Now, you say that one of the traumas is to sit in anything that's been boiled.
Yes, that is the 12th trauma. The 12th trauma.
Oh, the 12th trauma.
Yes. And you boil just anything to boiling. Coffee, soup.
Yeah, well, I was going to say soup or stew.
Yes, a soup or stew or anything like this, and sit in it.
Are you allowed to call out? Or?
No, you may not express any expression of pain.
Well, I don't know that I'll ever have any occasion for the 12 traumas, because I know they are designed to deter or avert one from sex with an underage female. But I found them to be very interesting nonetheless. And we're having some problems in our marriage. I love her. She loves me. But we're having a problem in the bedroom. I don't know any other way to say it.
Well, what, my friend, would you say, without the being graphic, is the problem?
Well, it's difficult to say without being graphic, but I've had a weight problem, and Shuna has a weight problem, and we occupy a bed that is a regular mattress that sits on the floor. And the reason why we did that is it can't collapse any more than it has, so we took the frame out.
All right, so the bed was collapsing.
Now, the bed broke the frame, and I have no doubt it's because of our weight. I understand that. But what we did was we put the box spring on the floor of the mattress.
Right.
And we decided that was the way. It was perfect. It couldn't collapse any further. And we got into bed last night, and the box spring actually collapsed, leaving just the mattress. And then the stuffing in the mattress literally shot out the sides of the mattress, so we're laying on the floor.
So I want to be clear. Your bed collapsed.
No, no.
No, but before last night, the bed collapsed.
Yes, the frame and then the box spring.
The box spring last night.
The box spring last night and the mattress last night.
Now, Rudy's having a hard time to understand about a mattress.
Oh, I didn't think it could happen either. So the weight is an issue, and I know that we need to lose the weight. But before we're able to lose the weight, we are literally destroying pieces of furniture and beds and everything like that. Is there anything that would deter, in your mind, anything that would not be right about it, having sex on just cement? And that is, I mean, downstairs, outside.
Well, I don't know. You're going to be seen by neighbors?
Well, we don't know, but that seems to be the only place that we can lay down and lay down for any longer than a few seconds and not have something break underneath us. And the only cement that has the space is a cement walkway out in front of the front door or maybe the garage.
I would say you can drive. You're going to be comfortable there.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
But if the cement is not going to give...
Well, I don't know what else to do.
I would wait, my friend, to try to lose the weight. I know about weight problem. My friend, Mr. Henry, had a weight problem.
I know he lost 90 pounds.
Yeah, Phil had told me he lost 90 pounds. And I would wait, my friend. You have destroyed everything in your life, destroyed the furniture. You go outside, you crack the cement, you know.
Oh, that's right. That's what I'm afraid of.
You don't want to crack a cement or the cement pad or this kind of thing, you know.
All right, well, I still say we ought to give it a shot because that's ridiculous. I'm not going to let furniture and even a cement slab keep me from knocking something off. You know what I mean?
I understand, my friend, but you can't be greedy. And you also have to recognize that your health is first and most optimum. And if you cannot make love to your wife in a healthy and in a comfortable way because of how fat you are, and you're cracking the cement and you're destroying furniture, you're destroying a beautiful home in the process. Perhaps you are putting too much weight on these weight-bearing beams, or yes, weight-bearing beams, but they can too. They can also be compromised. And believe me when I tell you, you do not want the second story, the second floor of your home compromised by the weight. A weight-bearing beam compromised, you do not want a collapse there. It would be cataclysmic. I'll be right back. This is Rudy Canoza, filling in here on the Phil Hendry Show. What a beautiful evening. Listen to the music. This is the music of my homeland, Argentina.
Rudy Truth Canoza. Is our Rudy. Bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and you're listening here to Rudy Canoza, and I'm filling in here on the Phil Hendry Show. As Phil, as people will call up to say, "Where is Phil?" I would say to them that Phil is, I told you, we start our program that the Phil is now taking care of a still that he owns. This is, would you say, America's La Moonshine, and Phil has a still is in the backyard of his home. I know a lot of you ladies, you listen to Rudy as I do the Argentinian greeting, but you see, it's not disrespect at all. It's not even lascivious. It's nothing that is sexually based. This is a greeting from the heart, from Argentina to you, to the ladies tonight, as you say. The slower, the more romantic and sensual, the faster, the more immediate, the more mid-range. There's different, it's almost like African click, you know. There's different, I can't explain it. That's a standard greeting. Then when you say, it's a little bit more romantic. There's not a woman in Argentina that does not know what this means. All right. Every man should learn to play the saxophone. Every man. Every. This is one of the great regrets of my life that I did not learn to play the saxophone. And the electric piano. All right, so you have to go... That's a standard greeting, but then when you have the sensuality, if Astrid Gilberto were to walk up to me, and I loved her so much when I was a boy, I would say to her... A lot of people, and I was deeply offended by an article that I saw in an American paper who said that this Argentinian greeting sounded like... said the man thought he was being funny. He says it sounds like Martian, you know. He thought it was a War of the World of Martian talk, you know. And I wrote a letter to this pig. I said, "You pig, Do you understand? This is Astrid Gilberto. The love that I had for her, I walked to her to say, blah, blah, blah. And this pig wrote me a letter back. I'm almost crying thinking of it. He wrote me a letter back. He said, you sound like you come from Venus. I don't know. Maybe American men are just not with it, you know. I don't think American men really get it. All right, my friends. I'm going to the phone call now, and I have here a Carmelo. Carmelo. Let me see. It's a Carmelo. How are you, sir?
How are you, sir? What are you saying? Do you see anything, Rudy?
How are you, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm all good. And thank you to come to America. And I welcome you, Carmelo. I welcome you to America.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. And where are you from original?
I am original from Mexico, but America is my home now. I love America, you know.
I love America. It's a great country.
Yes. Now, Rudy, you speak of a woman.
I am speaking of the woman, yes, my friend.
Right. And in my life, I had a lot of women.
Yes, I believe it, my friend.
Yes, a lot of women. And you can talk a woman like a la-la-la. Huh?
Yes, my friend, it's Argentina, you know.
Ah, now, my woman is, I love her, but she with an Argentina man one time when he come to the house, you know, to fix the plumbing, you know?
Yes.
And he said to my woman, blah, 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 whatever this thing, and I did not see her again for 6 months.
Did she go off with this Argentina man?
She ran off. She ran off with the Argentina man. But is the best thing that ever happened to Carmelo because I found my wife today.
And that is a blessing, my friend.
It's a blessing. My wife today is a wonderful woman. I love her. Never would I, you know, stray away from her.
Well, my friend, all as Americans say, you know, do you hear this American say, all's well that ends well.
Yes, 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 all's well that ends well, America. Do that, blah, 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 blah. Do it again. Were you a plumber at one time?
All right, that's a crank call. No, I did not run off with your wife, sir. I did not run off with you. My friend, as much as I love and respect you, and I thank you for calling the Rudy Conoza tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, I would not run off with your cow. I think my audience right now, the people called Rudy, of course we believe you, Rudy. You're not going to run off with some man. This guy sounds like he's married to, and I say this with respect and great love in my heart, of course, because I love all women, but I am not about to leave the country or leave the city limits for that matter. Not even going to go off at that man's block with a cow. Something that rather than to get into Rudy's Je T'aime lingerie, I would put a bell around her neck instead. You know, they went ding, 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 ding. Like that. Is my friend back? My friend is called back. All right, my friend.
Hey, Rudy.
My friend, now you watch the language, huh?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say you run off with my wife. I'm sorry. I just asked if you had been a plumber one time.
I have never been a plumber, my friend.
All right, so you didn't take my wife, but I'm glad that if you did, I wouldn't care at all, Rudy. You know?
I know, because you found the woman of your life.
I have the woman of my life. Now, another thing. My woman that I have now, she wears a bell around her neck, and I love it. I love it. See, you can say she's a cow, but my wife will get up in the morning and she says this, all us cows do our best for Jersey, mate. You hear that?
My friend, you disrespect your wife.
No, I never. She said it, I did not say it.
Why do you put a bell around her neck?
She put the bell around her neck. She did. My wife drink a tequila one night. And I said to her, come to bed, darling. She said, no, I'm not going to. She put a bell around her neck. She goes, all us cows do our best for Jersey, babe. And I said, what do you think? She said, I'm going to call up Howard Stern tomorrow. get on the Howard Stern show.
She's going to be on the Howard Stern show and be a cow?
To be a cow. But I told her...
All right, we've run out of time, my friend. This is Rudy Canosa. Why don't we stop this talk of putting a bell around your wife's neck? All us cows do our best for Jersey medicine. Here's the music of my country, the music of the highlands, the music of the mountains. I'm going to tell you a story of the Colombian people and the Peruvian people as well. The Indian, the native people of Peru and Colombia. And the border, the derby, the Peruvian derby, the derby.
Hey, Rudy!
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Isn't that lovely? And that, again, my very, very... it's not my favorite music. I will tell you what my favorite music is. You are not going to believe. This is Rudy Canosa, and I am here for my good friend Phil Hendry, as I am filling in for him. And tonight, of course, we are speaking to you of many things, of a romance, of a man, a woman, a family, love. Love. There is nothing better than love. There's nothing more important than love. To love. To love is to live. And to live is to love. But you must love to live, and you must live to love. That is the grand equation of life, isn't it? But that music you hear, that comes from the foothills of my country, Argentina, which I miss so very, very much. And I'm going to go home to Buenos Aires. Today is the date of... I know by April, middle of April, I'm going to be home. When I'm traveling here in America, I am so filled with joy, because if I must leave my country, there's only one country for me. There's only one country to go to, that is America. If I have to leave Argentina, I must go to America. Otherwise, I don't feel I'm at home. I feel at home when I hear. If I go someplace else, I don't feel at home, you know. Now, I wanted to tell you this story, and this is a story. I want to ask my friend Jesse if he would play underneath me that beautiful Argentina music for me. So I'm going to tell my friends this story, Jesse. Yes. You see, in South America, the Peruvian people who live in the hills. You've seen the Peruvian people in the hills, and they play the pan flute, and they wear the shawls, and they wear on their heads what you probably recognize as a round derby hat. How did the Peruvian tribes people, the Colombian tribes people, the very people that Paul Simon, he wrote that song, I'd rather be a snail than a fly. Yes, I would. You know you could. I'd rather be your mama than your boo, 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 like that. Well, you see, my friends, there was a ship, a great ship, that was traveling from the great city of New York City and was going to go around the Horn of South America and come up the other side of South America and on its way to San Francisco and then to Hong Kong, where it was due to deliver a large quantity of derby hats. The people of Hong Kong, for some reason, there's no real explaining it, but the derbies were manufactured in New York and were destined a big order for Hong Kong. And suddenly a storm came up along the coast of South America, and the ship was swamped, and the ship broke apart on the rocks, and all of the derby hats flew out of their crates and onto the beaches, and the derby hats landed onto the rocks. That's fine, Jesse, thank you. No more music, thank you. Now we let the music die down. Thank you very much, Jesse. Because I want people to hear this story. As this great ship from New York is destined for a San Francisco to drop off some passengers, but the large quantity of derby hats delivered to a men's shop in Hong Kong, and as it was going along the coast of South America, it broke apart on the rocks. Broke apart on the rocks, and the derby hats flew from the crates. It flew out of the galleys and out the below, you know, what they call the below part of the ship. And it flew out in the storm, and the derby hats flew out and onto the beaches and onto the rocks and out into the jungles. And the derby hats landed in all of these different places. And the Indian people came from the hills to say, what is this? What are these hats? These ridiculous derby hats. They look like the hat that we saw when the Peace Corps here 2 weeks ago, Tuesday, and they showed a Laurel and Hardy movie to us on a sheet that they hung from the jungle. I saw the men, I said, these are the hats they wore. Si, senor, this is the hat that they wore, and they put on the derby hat. And today, when you travel to Peru, and you see the native people as they play the pan flute, and they sell their wares in the marketplaces there, you see the hat, the derby, the round hat, the Oliver Hardy hat. And that hat that that Peruvian is wearing, was supposed to be on the head of a Chinaman. This is Rudy Canosa, and this is Life Can Be Good. Isn't that an interesting story? All right, my friends, let's go to another phone call, shall we? Margaret Gray is on my line two, and I don't know, where's my line two? Line two, or Margaret Gray here, is going to join me here on the Rudy Canosa Show. Margaret, I hear you on the Phil Show. How are you this evening, my friend?
Oh, Rudy, I'm doing wonderful. And first of all, thank you for giving Phil the night off, because he really needed it. And he is a, he's very grateful. Phil is a man who's under a great deal of pressure. He is, in point of fact, under so much pressure and is so on edge that I really think he took a terrible step yesterday and ended a friendship with someone who was very, very important to him. And he did so in an angry way. He did so in an accusatory way.
Whoa, my friend. Whoa.
No, but I want to tell you the story.
No, Margaret. We're speaking of a man who's not here, you know. We're speaking of a man who's not here. He's going to defend himself.
Well, I think that Phil would agree with everything I'm saying. I think he would.
But I don't think you do think it's fair for us to say, Phil, you know, you did this, you did that, you did this. And he is not here to defend himself.
There's nothing he can say to defend himself, Rudy. He took a horrible step. He made a terrible mistake. And now he has to live in it, son. As that guard said to Jake LaMotta in the film Raging Bull, live in it, son. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Rudy. Live in it. To that end...
Margaret, you can't just tell a man that you made a horrible mistake. You did this, you did that, and you speak on the radio to the people listening, and he's not here to defend himself.
Well, I just did it, and I have to do it because someone has to say it. And I'm reminded of that song that I think says it all about Phil's quandary. It is a song, it's a beautiful Spanish song, okay? And
it's a song in my home language, then.
Yes, it is a song not from Argentina, it's from Cuba.
Ah.
Cuba, yes.
Ah, Cuba, yeah. And what is this song?
You know the song, and I'll just do a little 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 2, 3, 2, 3. 1, 1, 2, 2, 1. Guantanamera.
Ah.
Cohibo Guantanamera.
Now, hold on for a moment.
What?
You said the Cohibo?
Yeah, well, Cohiba. They say Guantanamera, Cohiba. That's a cigar.
Is a cigar, okay.
Yeah, and Guantanamera is the Marine Corps base. So they're talking about, you remember Jack Nicholson in Few Men or something? It was Few
Good Men, as Jack Nicholson.
Yes, a Few Good Men. Jack Nicholson had a cigar. Where was he? Guantanamera. And so he was smoking a Cohiba at Guantanamera, and that's the connection that I made there.
So this song is about the Marine smoking... A Marine smoking a cigar. I'm sorry, there must be some cigar smoke. This song is of a Marine smoking a cigar.
It's a beautiful song about a Marine smoking a cigar. And it goes like this. Guantanamera, woo-hoo, Cohiba, Guantanamera, woo-hoo, Guantanamera, Cohiba, Guantanamera. And then, Rudy, what it does, it goes into a recitation. My poems are like the palm trees and the white people. I don't really know what the words are. I think you can probably make it up.
Well, it's a very lovely poem, but this song is based upon a poem, you know.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yes, this song is based upon a poem, and this song is a poem. In fact, it's a poem. It's not a song, it's a poem.
Well, it's a poem with music.
It has music, yes, but I don't think...
It's Guantanamo, and they said, my poems are like the suds of a car wash. My poems... And blah, 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 blah. And it's just so lovely. And I just wanted to sing that for you.
Well, Margaret, you know every time you sing, and let me do that. I know you're married, but let me give you the Rudy send-off for you, Margaret.
Oh, please, hit me with it.
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my God. Did you hear me, Frank?
Yeah, I heard you.
Frank's here. You want to talk to Frank?
Yes, let me speak to my friend Frank.
Hey, Rudy.
Frank, my friend, my good friend, how have you been?
Rudy, I'm better than Custer. How have you been?
Oh, Frank, I'm in love with life. I am so happy to be here in America, and I just sang it to your lovely lady. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. She woke up, and I got to put her back to bed.
Who's that?
My son.
All right, let me just tell you this, Frank. I'm not making love to your wife. I hope you know that.
It doesn't matter. I made up my mind a long time ago that you're going to get it. When I see in person, you'll be getting it, okay? I've got it. You'll get it. I don't care if you did it. You're getting it.
Frank, you must understand, it was not me that night. It was not me. Rudy does not lie. I would be very, very, very proud to say, yes, it was me. As I climbed down the lattice works, yes, it was me. But it was not me climbing down the lattice works.
I'm just going to tell you something. She saw something coming down that ivy. And my son doesn't lie to me.
All right, I understand. But I was not at your home climbing down the ivy on the lattice works from the bedroom.
I don't care if it wasn't you. You're going to get it. And you know I made this promise to you 5 years ago. That when I saw you, that would be the end.
That's why I have to stay clear of you.
Hey, there you go. Bingo. Bingo. Give the man a Cohiba. That's right. Because you see, I want to tell you something, Rudy. You're a good guy, but I'm mentally unsound. I'm mentally unsound. You know that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So if I see you anywhere in the flesh, I'm going to blow your head off. You know that too, right?
I understand that, Frank, yes.
Okay. And even if you didn't have sex with my wife, even if he didn't let you into his bed, I'm still going to blow your head off.
I understand. This is irrational of you. Irrational.
Oh, it might be irrational. I'm sure that it is irrational. I mean, I'm an irrational man. There's no question I'm an irrational man. But I love him. I love him dearly as my wife. And Margaret means everything to me. And for you to even go near him is death.
All right, then I can only say this to you, my friend.
Yeah, what?
I will stay clear of you as much as I can.
Well, what are you, I don't understand, what are you doing in L.A.?
I'm filling in on the Phil Hendry show.
You're filling in on the what?
The Phil Hendry radio show.
So in other words, to fill in on a radio show, you risk death? Is that what you're doing?
I'm doing a friend a favor.
Yeah, you're nervous, aren't you?
A little bit, yes.
Well, I'm just telling you, Canoza, you're a good guy. But if I see you with him, and you're in bed with him, I'll kill you, and I'll kill him after, and then I'll commit suicide. And that will leave my son. She'll have to carry on.
Listen to me, Frank. Don't get tough with me. Frank is hung up. Frank is angry with me. He's angry with Rudy. Just because one day, when I saw his wife in the hallways of the radio station, I said to her, Margaret, baby. And of course, any woman will fall for that. And she was she was swooning and feeling all a flutter. And Frank, the lunatic that he is, it now thinks that I may love to her. And he calls her a him, and him a her. And I can only imagine what he speaks of me when we're not around. In a moment, I come back and I speak with you a little bit more about my life and about what I've got to go home to in Argentina. It ain't pretty. Rudy Canoza in for Phil Hendry this evening.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You understand me, Canoza?
I understand you, yes.
As long as we understand each other.
World-famous Phil Hendry
yes.
Show.
Listen to this, huh? This is the music of the Peruvian hill people. Listen to this. Yeah. Aha. Hey, hey. You do this wild dance around the gypsy caravan, huh? South America is a magical place. Even from my home country, Argentina, I can travel to the north, to the east, to the west, and see the magical people of the Peruvian hillsides and the Colombian hillsides. Yeah. Ha. Ha. You know, when you dance to this, you dance as if you're herding cattle. Yeah, yeah. And you dance with your woman. And when you dance with your woman, this is no disrespect, but you must dance with her as if you are herding cattle. Just, yeah, yeah. You know, you spank her on the butt. All right, thank you. Thank you very much, Jesse. That was great. Here is a music. This is Brazil. Now, I'm not as much a fan of Brazil music because Brazilians, I love Brazilian, but they're really pigs, you know. Argentina, Brazilians are pigs. I love them. I love them, and I love their contribution to the world, but they are nothing more than pigs. Yes, See, that's what you do, you know. If you come from my country and you hear music like this, you must sit with a bottle of something and just go, ha, ha, ha. And you scare the tourists, you know, you scare the Americans. They come in. Yeah. Now listen to this part here. This is where she, spank your woman on her rump, you know, and you say, ha, yeah, get him up, little doggies, yeah. So, listen to this song. I want to start this song again, please. Because tonight what Rudy is telling you is music is everything to me. Music is everything to me. And this is a song from Brazil. Brazil is a mysterious country. It is a beautiful country, and it's so rich, so much in Brazil. And yet the people are pig-like. They are sow-like. I don't understand. There is a beauty, there is a magnificence to the Brazilian that is at once repellent and yet attracts, that is at once degenerate and foul in stench and yet is like a flower. You see what I mean? Huh? You know? Okay. Now look. Now wait a minute. Oh, gosh. My jaw is locked up. Hold on for a minute. I apologize to everyone. Occasionally when I do dancing, my jaw, okay. I danced a little bit too much last night. My jaw got locked up. All right, let's listen now. And let's listen to the words of this great song from this beautiful young lady. Her name is Luisa Mata. Ah, yes. Luisa Mata, Brazil. Let's listen as she sings. She's going to sing of a man who's landed in an airplane on an airstrip. The man came, he landed in the airstrip. He came out of the airplane and he had a map in his hand and he had some kind of equipment. And he looked through the equipment and said, this is the place where I will build the airstrip. And the next thing you know, there's Rio de Janeiro International Airport, but I can't get home. That's the name there, right? See? So she sings that she lived in the jungle and she was living on nothing but what a pig would live on, you know. She lived in the jungle. Her parents had abandoned her in the jungle. And she lived on nothing more than what a pig would live on. And she walked around in clothing she had to fashion for herself from the palm fronds and from the grass. Can you imagine this? And she was lonesome, and she sees a man come from the aircraft, and he says, I'm going to build Rio de Janeiro International Airport, and that is what he did. And there she sat. She sat squatting in the grass each day as she watched the men, and they came to build this airport, and she squatted, and she gnawed on a pig bone, and she drank the milk of a coconut, and she gnawed on the seagrass as she watched this great airport being built, and then finally the airport is built, all of the modern air traffic, all of the modern people, and there she sits, still wearing this skirt that she fashioned out of a tarp from she found from Air Korea. And you see what I'm saying? And so the song is called, I saw them build Rio de Janeiro International Airport, and yet I still can't get home. Yeah? Okay. I am Rudy Canosa. It's so wonderful to be with you this evening. I'm going to another phone call here this evening. And let me see, we have Harvey Wireman is an attorney at law. I wish to speak with Harvey because he's a wise man. He's a good man. And Mr. Wireman, good evening, sir.
Hey, Rudy, let me just tell you something. I saw that movie tonight that you were talking about.
It's Diary of a Nudist.
Diary of a Nudist, yes. And I wanted to tell you that I'm going to be, along with Hal Jeffries, Bob Keegan, and Stan Anana.
What's this man's name?
Stan Anana.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm trying to write Stan and Anna.
Stan and Anna, yeah. Why the questions?
Because I have to say, it reminds me of a name of Bananaram or something, you know?
No, it's Stan Anana.
Stan Anana.
Yes, his family settled the city of Santa Ana. Do you know the city of Santa Ana?
I do. It's near Los Angeles, right?
Yes, it's right south of L.A. And so his family was one of the founding families of Santa Ana. His name's Stan Anana.
He's not related to Bananarama, is he?
No, he's not. That's a good joke, though.
Yes, okay. Rudy, is so happy to speak with you tonight, Harvey.
Now, let me ask you something. Why do you say Rudy? Why do you do that?
Because of South American, you know, everything is one word, one syllable. We are known by one name, and we are known as third person, Pele, Ula, you know.
Or is the what do you call them, the soccer players?
Yes, the soccer players are all one name in Brazil and in my country, Argentina. We have Ula, we have Pele.
I've heard of Pele, yeah.
Then we had Pele. We had the great Stankula. We had Maga.
I don't know who these guys are. Well, you might as well be talking about fish, you know, not men.
No, these are great soccer players, great football players.
Okay.
And we had, we had the Guise, we had Bahaha, we had Lipizor, which is actually the name of a heart medicine.
I know the heart medicine. I thought it was a soccer player by that name.
Phil Hendry.